written a questionnaire. I don't know if it deserves this name, but I've written down some questions and I have decided to answer them myself because I don't know. I'm bored tonight and I don't have anything better to do, and yeah, I apologize for my accent, which is terrible probably, but yeah, we will see how it goes. And question number one was, a lot of people seem to have claimed to have kind of an honor code when it comes to books and will finish them even if they don't enjoy them. What about you? Will you finish every book or do you stop reading if you don't like it? Do you think these people are lying? As indicated by the question, I don't finish every book I start. I think if the book is just not good, there's no reason for me to waste my time. I mean, I read to have fun with it if I'm not reading for university or for work. I'm reading for my own enjoyment, and so I don't see a need to finish every book I start. I try to read most the books I start, and I read pretty fast, so it doesn't take up that much time, but yeah, it depends on the book. If I feel like the book will not be able to give me anything, neither entertainment nor any information or ideas that are interesting to me, then I just will not read it. And I think, I mean, I think it's really cool to finish every book you start, and it's very honorable to do so, even though it's a boring book. But I think some people who claim to read every book they start are probably lying, because, well, until recently I still went to university, and there are a lot of people who pretend to be very well read, and I think a lot of them just pretend to read more than they do, or to have read certain classics that in fact they haven't really read. And they claim to finish every book they read even though they don't. So yeah, I think some of these people are probably lying. Question number two, what was the last book you really didn't like and why didn't you like it? The last book I really didn't like was Ready Player One. And I didn't like it because it just was a bad book, I think. And I was really interested in it because a lot of people seem to really like it, and a lot of people who have very good taste in books, as far as I know, seem to really like it. And so I really wanted to read it, and I picked it up and I started reading it, and I was very, very disappointed because it just wasn't very good in my opinion. I thought this, I mean, I think I like the premise of it. I like the idea, but I did not really enjoy the writing or the characters or the existent character development. And yeah, I really was very disappointed in it, and I ranted about it to my friends, who are not interested in it and had not read it, and I just told them how much I disliked it. 3, there are also people who are very particular about the way they handle books. They would never put any dog ears in books. They only buy hardcovers, won't fully open the book to not break the spine, as I have learned. Thanks. What are your habits when it comes to buying and handling your books? Do you lend them out? I don't really have any... I'm not very careful with my books. I just shove them into my handbag and carry them around with me all day. And when I'm through with them, they look horrible. And I put dog ears in them all the time. Because I never have a reading sign. What's the word in English? I don't know. I never have something to put in the book to know where I was, where I stopped reading. So I always put dog ears in them, and I really like to buy paperbacks, soft covers, because I just like that they look used much faster than hardcovers. So I don't really like the weight of the hardcovers, and I always feel like with hardcovers you have to be more responsible with them, and I don't like that. And I really have an aversion against dust covers because they are always in the way and I really dislike them. But I really like to talk to people about their habits when it comes to books. I think it's very funny, or it can be really cute, the habits some people have around their books. Like one colleague of mine, I often talk to her about books, and she will not borrow any books from me because she says she sometimes or often falls asleep on the book, and then she will drool on the book, and she does not want to leave any drool on my books, even though I wouldn't care. But yeah, she's very particular about it, and I think it's really, really cute. And then I have another friend, and she lends me books, but she doesn't allow me to fully open the book so it won't break the spine, so you can only read, like, you can only open the book a few centimeters, and you have to be very, very careful. Yeah, I lend my books out, but only if I'm okay with them not coming back. There are some books I wouldn't lend out, but with most books, I will reread books, but I think it's also okay if a book travels a little bit. I'm a big fan of the public bookshelf. I like to leave books there, and I like to pick books up, and sometimes I will leave a book that I'm not sure yet if I ever want to reread it, so I just put it in the public bookshelf, and then some month later I will see it again, and I will pick it up again, and I will reread it, and I always like it when that happens. Question number 4. Would you ever buy, do you own a Kindle? I don't own one. I don't think I would ever buy one. I'm kind of torn because I like to be very minimalist and not own so many things. And books take up a lot of space, and a lot of space in my room is occupied by books. But I borrowed a Kindle from my flatmate one time for a few weeks, and I really tried to like it because, yeah, I could save so much room. But I didn't really enjoy it. I mean, as indicated by the question and my answer to it above, I really like to have a book as a usable object, and a Kindle just cannot give you the same feel and I also like to borrow my books and recommend books to other people, and you cannot really do that on a Kindle. So I wasn't a fan, and I could have kept it, but I gave it back pretty soon. Fantasy and science fiction will often reflect on reality in their themes and can mirror problems and conflicts in society. Do you like it if this happens? Does it annoy you if it's too on the nose? It's so weird to answer your own question. I would say that it kind of always happens. I don't think there's any way for art to not be influenced by reality, and so I don't think you can really avoid it, but sometimes I'm annoyed by it if it's too much. I don't really have any good examples. Depends on the way it's written, probably. I mean, if the story is good and it has a very clear message, that would be okay for me. But if the story is shitty and it just tries to push some agenda, then I would probably not finish the book. Question B to question 5. I would also I would also say that there are certain trends that can be prevalent for a while, more recent ones during the last decades would be environmental issues and terrorism. Do you agree that these issues in fiction change over time and follow trends? Do you think that the major themes tend to roughly be the same? I kind of already gave my opinion in the question. But I think that the trends change, but I also think I recently had a talk with a friend, and she talked about a book by Jules Verne where some children strand on an island and they stay there for a couple of weeks before they get rescued. And it's very innocent, and they just live on this island, and they're free in their childhood and in their fantasies and stuff. And then after the two world wars, of course, came Lord of the Flies, which deals with the same situation, but the book is completely different. And she said that this was a sign of the innocence that was lost during the two world wars. And I thought about it, and I thought it was really interesting and a really cool example, but then at the same time I thought about other literature in the 19th century, and I don't know, I had the feeling that this example only worked so well because of the two books picked out, and that if you would not be that focused on these two works, then this narrative would not work as well, and that you could also find very uninnocent works during the 19th century. And yeah, that kind of brought me to this question, whether there are trends or whether we just think there are trends and we like to pinpoint two works and say, oh, there's a big difference, but in reality, as soon as you look at other works, the difference would not be as big anymore. Question C. When people will look back at popular fantasy since 2000, what do you think is one of the themes that tries to process new challenges in society? What could be the next big thing in that regard? And I wrote maybe something like gender. I only wrote it to give an example. I don't know. I mean, I wrote down this question because I was really interested in an answer and because I don't really have an answer myself. But I think, yeah, maybe stuff like gender. I mean, I'm not that well versed. I don't know a lot about gender in literature, in fantasy literature. So that just was the first thing that came to my mind. Maybe, I don't know, I think that's been done before, but maybe more new scientific stuff, like maybe gene mutations like CRISPR or something like that. I don't know. Bad answer. Different question. Six, similar to the questions above, what would you say is your favorite trope if you have one? God. I'm really, really not very creative in answering these. I think I like if there is a new setting explored. I think I really like worlds that are just well built. And it doesn't have to be a big, it doesn't have to be an entire universe. It just could be a city, or I don't know, a house, just something that's unique in the story and that fits together well. And oh God, this is not an answer to the question, but I think it's one of my favorite parts of a book is just how the universe is built, like in Harry Potter. I mean, of course, I enjoy the overall arc, good versus evil, Harry versus Voldemort and stuff, but I really just enjoy to dive into the wizard world and to learn about how this world works and what the rules are and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think that's one of my favorite elements of a book. It's not really a trope, whatever. Eight, what's the nicest small thing someone has recently done for you? Already. When I wrote it down, I already gave an answer to this as an example, and I have to say it's still my answer because the last week wasn't very nice, and I mean, I have met up with friends who are very nice, but I don't think there was anything someone has done for me. I don't know. Yesterday, a friend of mine dragged me to see a movie I wasn't really interested in, and it turned out to be really good, so that was kind of nice. But something really nice someone has done for me recently, a small thing, was that my coworker brought my favorite candy to work because I was talking about how they don't sell it in my supermarket anymore. And then he saw it and thought of me and bought it for me and brought it. And I was really, really happy about it. It was just such a small thing and it made my day entirely. Yeah. Number nine. What's your pet peeve in other people? Oh, God. So many. I'm really annoyed when people are slow. Which is probably pretty ironic because my English is very slow, and I'm not really fast at answering these questions, but I hate it when people walk slowly. I live in a town where there are a lot of tourists, and they just stop in the middle of the street to take a picture, and I mean, like the tourists. I think it's nice that they come to our city and look at everything, and I don't want to be rude to them because it's their vacation and they should have a nice time. But I get really aggressive sometimes when they just plug up everything, and I guess my very grumpy morning face that I have when I walk to university or to work probably is in the background of 1,000 pictures somewhere in Japan. And I'm really, really sorry about that. Number 10. What is something you consider to be meditative in everyday life? I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. Probably not. I like to meditate. That's meditative. I like to do yoga a lot. I really enjoy that. It's nice to just concentrate on your own body and to get the movements right and to feel how you grow stronger and more flexible. It's really, really nice. I also really enjoy cooking, especially cutting up vegetables as small and neatly as possible. I always take my bike in the morning to go to work. That's really nice because I live at a river. I can see it from my window, which is super, super cool. And so I bike to work and I drive along the river, and it's really nice. I mean, sometimes when the weather is not so good, I do this all year round. I don't care if it rains or snows. Can be a little annoying if it's windy or wet, but most of the time I just really, really enjoy it, and I love that I have such a nice way to work. It calms me down in the morning, and when I drive back, I usually drive a little faster and just power myself out a bit. So I'm all sweaty when I get home, and I can take a shower and get ready for the evening. That's really cool. Question 11. Do you keep a journal? Do you think people benefit from writing a journal? I have tried to keep a journal. I'm really, really bad at it. I wish I was better at it because I think it can be really healthy to write down your thoughts. Even if they seem dumb, it's a good way to monitor your feelings and to notice if there's something wrong, if you have a lot of negative feelings, or if there's something you should work on during bad times in my life. Sounds very dramatic. I have written to help me deal with it, or to, I don't know, be able to lock it away in a healthy way, I hope. So yeah, I wish I would keep a journal, but I don't, unfortunately. Question 12. Handwriting or writing with a computer? I love handwriting, and I always have a notebook with me. In university, I always kept my notes because otherwise I would probably have fallen asleep, and it just helped me concentrate better. And yeah, I really like it. I really like handwriting. I mean, I like writing with the computer too. I would never do assignments or work in a notebook, because on the computer you can edit stuff and just makes it a lot easier. Question 13. If you had a lot of money and time, would you go to university again? What would you like to study? I mean, maybe I cannot really answer this question very objectively. I don't know. I'm not sure if that word really exists. because I'm not a student anymore, but I have just finished my master's thesis 2 months ago, so it's not that long, and I have been working since April this year. And so I think I'm still very close to university. Most of my friends are still going to university. I still do a lot of, I mean, I go to university parties, I go to the student cinema, I'm in the city at the university almost every day. I eat at the Mensa canteen, I don't know, at the university, so at heart, I still feel like a student, I guess. And at the moment, if I had a lot of money and time, I would definitely go back, because I feel I really loved going to university. I love to do scientific research. I love to have discussions with other students, and I really enjoyed it. And I feel like there's so much more that I could learn, and I would like to study so many things. First of all, I would like to study English, because they give you very nice pronunciation lessons, and I think my English could really use some improvement. Then I would like to study history, because I myself studied art history, and in art history you get a lot of knowledge about history, but only about very certain things and periods, and I think it would be good to further my knowledge about history. What else? I would really like to study architecture or psychology or philosophy. That would be so cool. So, I think if my family was very rich and I could just be an heiress for the rest of my life, I would just go to university for the rest of my life. I would just be one of those annoying people who go to university forever. Yeah, that would be nice, I guess. I don't know, I think my perspective on that will probably change with time as I move on from university. Even though I'm not so sure I will move on from university, I'm still thinking about getting a PhD. I'm not so sure about that yet. I will see where things will take me. Yeah, that was all the questions. It took me a long time and I didn't really say anything. Probably no one will listen to this, so it's alright. Yeah. If you have listened to this, I wish you a very nice time and thank you. Bye.